going to hear some rumbling in the background. I apologize for that, folks. But I didn't invent the Thunder in the Valley. It's called Thunder in the Valley here in Winbur, Pennsylvania. Bunch of motorcycle people in town by the hundreds, and they're going to be rumbling by here. I'm recording this message Friday evening. The festivities start here this weekend. You still got time to get to Winbur, Pennsylvania or Johnstown for the Thunder in the Valley. And the motorcycles are going to be revving it up here. I got all the windows closed. I'm sweating, perspiring, but I suffer for the sake of the evangel. That's fine. Don't mind doing it one bit. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. Welcome back. I really want to buzz through Hebrews because you're chomping at the bit for me to get to Revelation, and some of you are upset. I know. Somebody wrote me and said, what? You're doing Hebrews? Oh, you said you're going to do Revelation, and I understand the frustration. Other people said, wow, this is really interesting about Hebrews. I didn't know this. So, yeah, I'm kind of like a magician. Watch this hand over here, and I'll distract you from the fact that I'm doing something different or not doing something different with this hand, namely the book of Revelation. I told you, did I tell you I built a writing cubby up in the attic of my apartment over at 412 Bedford Street? I can't remember if I told you that, but yeah, I have realized that I can't really concentrate in all the activity here at 410, the hub of activity, the nest of evangelism. And so I've built a writing cubby on the third story of 412. And I'm finishing The Lie of Every Man's Battle. And it's coming along great. It's almost done. Hang in there. That might be the first book I release. In the meantime, I have another person laboring to build an index for the Clanging Gong News collection. I'm going to have bound volume of all the Clanging Gong News, bound in faux leather, hardback, glossy paper, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful volume. And somebody's building an index for me, a topical index that's going to be at the back of the book. That's coming. The reprint of How to Quit Church is coming. All these things I'm doing. And again, that's why I'm not getting to your emails. So thank you. My sister Kelly is thanking everybody for any contributions that come in. And I remind you, I still need the contributions big time. I'm literally mean this. I cannot do this work without you helping me. I know this is how it works. You can't do it because you have other jobs, you have other responsibilities. God gave me this work full time, and I've been doing it for going on 20 years now. It'll be 20 years in October. So I'm on the front lines, and anything you can do to help me, I would greatly appreciate that. Go to martinzender.com. It says donate to Martin's ministry. Do it while you can. I'm telling you, we're all racking up points. We are. Now, I got to be careful saying that. We're racking up points. No, that's not salvation. You don't rack up points for salvation. Salvation is won for us by Jesus Christ. But Paul was striving for a wreath of righteousness. And it is a great opportunity to participate in the evangel with me. And I'm putting in, I want to get these books out. And I'm going to labor. And I'm going to push it because I'm in a race. I finally realized this several years ago. Dan Sheridan helped me out here. I'm in a race. Paul says we're competing together in the evangel. This can't be referring to salvation because that's gratuitous. That's a gift given to you. But these things we do for the evangel, we're competing together. There's a wreath of righteousness, Paul says. It's going to be paid to me. If it's paid to him, it can't be salvation. He's talking about something else, talking about an award. He's talking about an award. He's talking about rewards, talking about prizes, the prize of the calling above, he says in Philippians, the prize. Run so as to win the prize. And again, he can't be talking about salvation. This is above and beyond salvation. We're working together. We're laboring together. Anybody that sends me money, this is how bold I am. I'm going to tell you how bold I am and how I'm stopping, I quit apologizing for this. When people send me money, I thank them and I say, you're backing the right horse. You are backing the right horse because I have the right evangel. I understand the sovereignty of God, the eons, correctly cutting the word of truth. I know what God's goal is, and I'm putting it in a platform I'm putting the information in books, online. I'm doing these shows in a way that the common person can understand it, making the complex simple here at Zender headquarters. That's what I do. And because of that, people are getting it. And I know that I walk the line sometimes, and I know you folks are very gracious with me. Some of you are. Some of you aren't. You know who you are. But many people are gracious to me because I'm on the edge. I'm always on the edge. I'm on the line. I'm walking that fine line, and I'm putting the truth out there in as a contemporary manner as possible. I'm real. I'm a real person. I don't stop to think how to fashion this stuff, how to present it in a pleasing way so that I don't offend anyone. I don't know how to do that. I live with my shirt hanging out, and because of that, it's so damn real, some people stumble at the realness of it because I don't polish myself. I guess Paul was the same way. You know, this guy is not polished of speech. And Peter, James, and John, they weren't polished in the manner of the Pharisees who had formal educations. And because I walk the line, I sometimes step over the line. I do. And people call me on it, and I will apologize if I think I'm really done something over the line extensively, which I don't think I ever really have. But even if I come close, I try to be sensitive to that. And yet I'm not going to be so sensitive so that I rein myself in, so that I'm not myself, so that I'm constantly censoring myself. Because if I do that, I lose something. I lose the whole passion I have for this message. You want my passion, don't you? Well, I'm going to give it to you. I'm hanging out there. I'm taking chances. I'm taking risks. I'll never forget Franz Klammer, downhill French skier in the 1976, I think it was the Innsbruck, Austria Olympics, won the gold medal in the downhill. He was the last guy to run. He had to go for broke because the guy before him had an amazing time. Look for this on YouTube. Franz Klammer, 1976, Innsbruck, Austria. I think this guy came down the hill like a lunatic. He was on the brink of disaster the whole time. He had to go for broke, and you have to be totally unconscious. You can't be self-occupied. You can't be thinking, I wonder if I look cool. I wonder if this sounds... You got to go for it. If you don't go for it, it's going to be canned. It's going to be stilted. It's not going to be real. It's not going to connect with anybody. And so I've gotten off on a tangent here. I wasn't planning on talking about this at all. I was going to talk about the angels in Hebrews chapter 1 about how, because we're back in Hebrews, about how the angels, we rule over them eventually. We're going to judge them. They have no place of rule, these messengers, these angels, no place of rule in the celestials. I told you they were the pages. They were the gophers. They fetch coffee. And so Christ is so much greater than the angels. And we, sitting at the right hand of God, when we're eventually roused together with him and vivified, we're going to be so much greater than the angels as he is now. Not only that, but as you know, there's a hierarchy of spiritual rule. Sovereigns, authorities, world mights. These are the beings, some of the beings who created the universe, the Elohim, plural, gods. Read Genesis 1. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. God himself didn't create it. He delegated it to sub-deities, to his son, and then his son delegated it to other Elohim. These are very, very powerful spiritual beings. Maybe they're sovereignties, maybe they're authorities, maybe they're world mights, the good ones, not the bad ones. Anyway, due to our connection, our unity with Jesus Christ, we're going to rule over the most powerful beings in the universe. Do you understand that? That's what we're coming into. I was just at my friend Charlie Kronk's memorial service. 61 years old, he's dead. Charlie Kronk is dead. I was at his memorial service last night in Bellevue, Ohio, and they burned his body. And now he's a pile of ashes and some bone fragments in a frickin' jar. That's my friend Charlie Kronk. I've known him for 19 years. This man understood his destiny. He knew what he was coming into. And I know this fact, that his next breath to his consciousness, when he opens his eyes, he is going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. and he is going to be snatched away together with the Apostle Paul at the same time to meet the Lord in the air. Right now, it's like he's asleep. He's dead. And I thank God for this. I was worried. Now, I thought I was going to do this, the service, because I spoke at his parents' funeral services, both at his mother and his father. His father is a great believer in the truth, Art Kronk. And I thought I was going to be asked to do Charlie's service. I wasn't, and I was kind of worried. I was thinking, oh my gosh, did his wife, Sue, get an Orthodox minister? God forbid. I just couldn't imagine it, you know. And I was worried that somebody was going to try to put my friend right now in heaven. But thank God his daughter, his beautiful daughter, Mayanna, she spoke at the service eloquently, and she put it very delicately. I give her much credit for this. She said, "My dad is one step closer to glory," and I like the how she put that. He wasn't in glory, one step closer. In other words, when he opens his eyes, he's going to be with Jesus Christ. I can't blame her. She couldn't have said, "You know, my dad's dead." It's no time for a theology lesson here to correct everyone's faulty theology. So my friend Charlie Kronk is going to rise together with me, with you, with the Apostle Paul, and we're going to meet Jesus Christ in the air, and we are going to be so much better than the messengers, just as our Lord and Savior is now. I bring this up because in chapter 1 of Hebrews, Paul is really putting the angels up there, and it really, he's doing that again because of Israel. Israel was, you know, so into angels, and so are many Christians today, because I think they're really apostate Israel in a very real sense. But nothing is said here in Hebrews chapter 1 about the role angels play in judgment. They do play a great role in judgment, and you'll see this in the book of Revelation. Messengers carry out this judgment on the earth. We have no place in that. So we are going to be administrators of the reconciliation. So judgment is the work of angels. We're going to see judgment here in the book of Hebrews. And again, I have to tell you that our evangel is opposed to this one. And as we go through Hebrews, and I'm going to really try to get through this relatively quickly, because I feel bad that I've been talking about Revelation. We're going to see that there is some judgment in chapter 10, but our evangel is so much higher. I'm going to point out the contrast as we go here. Don't think, oh man, Zender's going to be on a circumcision letter for several weeks here, and we're not going to hear our evangel. No, that's not the case, because I'm going to contrast our evangel of grace, and you're going to see some amazing contrasts here. I'm going to contrast our evangel with this evangel of the circumcision, which Paul is straining to bring his brethren according to the flesh into. I can't forget if I told you this, but I think when Paul talked to people one-on-one, he tried to get people to jump ship into his evangel when he talked to them personally over coffee, you know, at the markets, whatever, at their homes. He's saying, have you heard of this celestial message? But when he's writing a doctrinal piece, when he's writing to his people in a book that's going to live for the eon, he is going to try to get to his people to say that, hang on now, the new covenant has been put on hold. It's still coming. It's a better covenant, better priesthood, better promises. The blessings are coming from above, not from some kind of inner working within your own priesthood. The priesthood's going to be overhauled, and the high priest is going to be new. He's going to be a priest in the order of Melchizedek. And I'm back with you. So thank you for sticking with me. I appreciate that whole week of shows with Dennis. I know that was a sidetrack, but believe it or not, I never talked to that guy before. I emailed him, Dennis Brown, but we never spoke together, not even on the telephone. And I started talking to this guy, and like, we're poof, off to the races. So I said, let's do a whole week of shows, and we did it, and I hope you benefited from that. It's a new week. I'm going to try to race through Hebrews, going to hit the highlights, going to not forget the forest for the trees. I'm always going to make sure you know the forest, you know where we are, why this book's being written, and the impression it's making on the people who are hearing it as the scroll is unraveled. This has been Martin Zender. Thanks for being with me and continuing with me in the book of Hebrews.